Welcome to part two of our conversation with Shane Gunderson.
Did you also want to talk about your dating experience, or no? Okay.
You're gonna have to ask me more questions.
Why aren't you married? Just kidding.
I can answer that. I answered that yesterday. I actually get, as a 31-year-old, I get asked that question a lot. Mm-hmm. First question is, any kids? Ever married? Mm-hmm. And then, no. And then the next question is, why are you still single?
That is literally so insulting, though. I really don't like that. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. And my question is, well, honestly, it's because I had a fear of commitment that I worked through. And then just had really bad luck with women, apparently. So.
Okay, hold on. Let me think about this for a second.
You know him better than me. So I know. You have had long
That's
conversations.
That's why this is like, this could like go downhill so fast.
You know him.
Mom, no, you have to ask something because you don't know.
Well, let me tell you my experience. We can just adjust okay. this as we go. Yeah. You know, as a leader of the church, I would go sometimes to devotionals with young single adults or, you know, different kinds of meetings. And sometimes I would have a sister or a brother tell me something like, Sister Alberto, I'm sick and tired of dating. What advice would you give me? And I will, you know, many times I will tell them, I think I'm the wrong person to ask that question because I really don't understand the culture of dating here in the United States. You know, I didn't grow up here.
And it's been like 30 years since you've been single. So
I know, it's been a long time. And then I think that my husband and me, we did it the Latin way, you know, that is not, it's different for some reason. So what I will tell the young single adults when they will ask me that question is, don't focus so much on the dating aspect of it. Don't focus so much on the romantic part of it, but focus on the friendships. Because I really don't understand how a couple can go on a date for 2 hours and then from that day decide if they are romantically interested in each other. I really don't understand that. But again, I'm not the right person to judge this because I didn't grow up in this culture. So I will just tell them, focus on making friends. You know, make a lot of friends. Don't try to decide from one evening that you spend with someone if that person is the right person for you. Just make a lot of friends and then something could come up from that. So what would you tell people that are struggling with that? If you were asked that question, what would you tell? I'm actually asking both of you. I'm interviewing Elena too. Yeah, let's have this conversation.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, something that I always tell myself is that, as far as we know, Jesus was single. So, meaning,
but not
like,
really, though.
We don't know. Like, we legit
well,
don't know.
It was like, you had to be married to have a beard.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And how do we know that he had a beard?
Like, yeah, that's right.
Isn't there scripture saying they had a beard?
Well,
like, is it referenced?
I don't know.
But that was after he was resurrected. That the living prophets have seen him. So
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, either way though, what I'm trying to say is that like relationship status does not equal worth because. Yeah, I don't know. I have met some really cool people that, like, never got married. And, I mean, I have the utmost respect for them and everything. So, I don't know.
Well, isn't that, like, what the brethren are saying with, like, incorporating YSA into the High Council and bishoprics and stuff like that?
Exactly.
Or, like, doesn't matter if you're married or not. I mean, there are certain callings that you need to be married for. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like, the brethren are saying, not for every calling. Mm-hmm. Not for every position in leadership in, like, the local wards and stakes.
Yeah. So my point of view is that why do we focus so much on the rules or the culture of dating instead of just being a disciple of Christ and continue to connect with people, connect with God, connect with people, minister to each other? you know, minister to each other like the Savior did. And that happens, you know, in a one-on-one or a group setting. And just keep trying to be like Jesus is. And then live life the best you can. And not focus on, without focusing so much on the culture. Mm-hmm. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we might have mentioned this before previously on an episode, but just like how you need to be Christ-like even when you're dating, which, I mean, you have to treat the other person with like respect and serve them and everything. And so, I don't know, just whenever I've had experiences where the guy like treated me so poorly, like it was really heartbreaking. But at the same time, I was like, later on, I was like, oh, I'm so glad it didn't work out. Like, because he needs to treat me the way the Savior would treat me.
Like a queen.
Yes.
And you need to treat him as a king.
Yeah. I mean, I already, well, okay, never mind.
It's true.
Not.
It's back. It's both ways.
Well, what advice would you give if someone asks you, tells you that?
I don't know,
you know
if that's the right question.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I'm like the worst. Like, I feel like I, with one exception, have treated all of my situationships. which, if you don't know what a situationship is, it's basically forever in the talking stage with someone and no definition of what you guys are. Yeah. And so for, like, all of them have, like, I felt like I've done a really good job. And for one of my reasons, for one of their reasons, we just haven't been into each other for a long time. I was talking to my mission president, and I was like, yeah, I found girls that I would want to marry. And girls have found me that they wanted to marry. Like, girls who found me, or girls have wanted to marry me, but they just haven't overlapped much. Mm-hmm. or at all. And it's, like, I pray. I was like, I want to get married. I want to progress in that gospel. I want to take that next step in the covenant making process. And so I go on dates, and Elena knows a lot more about my dating situation. But it's a lot of dating, and it's kind of hard. And so, cause I want to do that. I'm like trying to put forth the work, into like I'm working towards marriage. Like I'm putting in the work, and I'm hoping God will help me in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Okay, no, yeah. My question for you would be, what have you learned from your dating experience?
Well, something I've learned, unfortunately, recently, not yesterday, was that one mistake does not a person make, right? Like, I usually give people the benefit of the doubt. But this one situationship I was in, I was like, oh man, I'm so sorry. Like, that must have been super awkward for you. I apologize. We didn't do anything crazy. It was just like, oh, phrasing of something. And she was like, Shane, that's nothing. Like, yeah, it was a little weird, but like, I'm not going to make my whole base my whole decision off of that one instance. And it's something that I'm like, okay, like, wow, that was actually really cool. Like, just because one thing happens. Now, there are definitely some things that if it happens once, you get out, right? And I definitely approve of that situation. But, like, small things like, oh, he didn't open the door for me. Or, like, for me, it was like, what have I done? So I'm just like, I bailed. The things that I've, like, left on have been like big things, like opinions on the law of chastity, or like,
oh gosh,
yeah, things like that. Like, I'm like, okay, like, this is very like, these don't connect. So I'm trying to like humble myself and figure out what I did then wrong.
Is it really that
you can
hard?
Edit all this stuff out? Yeah.
He's never had to repent in his life.
Well, like, I don't know, like, if they don't respond to you as quickly as you'd want, right? Like, that's not something that you, like, bail on.
Yeah, because you don't know if they are busy or in the temple or somewhere.
Exactly.
Know?
And so, like, I always try to, like, extend that benefit of doubt more than I probably should, but not to an unhealthy extent. And I definitely think there is a point where you have one, like, if they're mean to you, and not in a teasing, flirty way, but like in a very like, okay, this is going down the wrong path, then, and it's like, out of, I don't know. I'm not going to like define what's an unhealthy situation. That's something for
the But the spirit tells you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know deep inside if it's going in the right direction or not. Mm. But I love what you said, that you have to give the benefit of the doubt, because you cannot expect that person to be 100% perfect all the time, because we are not. Nobody is.
And any situation of abuse should be, that's a one and done kind of thing, in my opinion. That's not a benefit of the doubt. It's a like, okay, I need to leave. And I've had a friend who, she was married, and then her husband kind of was like trending towards that, and they called the police and she was done. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
And she was like, that was her out. And she stuck with it. And I am very like, I'm like, heck yeah, that's awesome. Because there isn't like a benefit of doubt in that situation.
Yeah, it's different. Yes.
And I just wanted to make that clear if this ever makes error. Yeah. Like, I want to make sure that people aren't like, oh, like, they hit me once, it's fine. Like, no, that's that's some a major that
are,
red flag.
Some things are non-negotiable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure.
Yes, like, I'm glad you clarified that. Yeah, we cannot enter into an abusive situation. No. Especially in dating, because that's not a good... And, you know, sign of what is going to happen in the future if the relationship gets more serious, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why. I was just thinking of, like, how for me it's really hard to tell between a red flag and just, what's it called, a weakness. So that's what I struggle with. And I really struggle, like, knowing if it's the spirit telling me no or if it's just, like, my anxiety. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But whatever, we're both hopeless. It's fine. That's the conclusion.
No, but... And before anyone says that, Elena has already friend zoned me like Brady had, like she did Brady. So, well, because he was already on this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, go back and watch that.
We didn't talk about the fact that I friend zoned him, though. Oh man.
Well, I think that is the important thing is to keep trying.
Yeah.
You know, and to keep living and to keep enjoying the friendships that we. That we can develop around us. And the Lord will bless us. I know that sooner or later, he gives, you know, us what we wish with our heart.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a righteous desire. And I just commend you for your patience and your endurance and because you keep trying. And
Oh, wait, sorry. Can I add that my mom and dad got married a little older? Like,
yes.
Like you were like 29 and he was 30.
Yes.
Which means I still have time. You're done.
I'm out.
No, but each of us, we all have our story.
Yeah. Can I go back to your question?
Yes. What was my question?
You were saying like you struggle with knowing what's a red flag stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think we should have very few red flags. Mm-hmm. I think there should be
I don't think there should be any red flags.
No, there should be some red flags. Like they're not on us, on like what we think is a red flag.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
Like, I think, like, abuse is definitely, like, the biggest red flag you got, right?
That's more than red. That's, like, purple or almost black.
Yeah,
that's, black. Like,
black, black flag, yeah. I think another one is definitely, like, they're facing the wrong direction with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
If they're facing Christ, green flag. If they're facing away from Christ, red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And people can repent and people can change, but if it doesn't matter where you are on that journey. If you're facing Christ, you're going to be heading in that direction.
Yes.
And that's a more important thing than if they're like temple worthy endowed return missionary or like not even if they're a temple recommend holder endowed return missionary facing the wrong way, it's going to do more damage to you than if they're, you know, working on coming back to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If they're working on getting that temple recommend, if they're working on that stuff, that's going to be better for you in the long run than if they're facing the wrong way completely.
Yes.
And I think that's a red flag. And I think, if you guys start having like gospel doctrinal issues, like that's probably something that's going to be a big issue down the road. But if you guys vote different political parties, like that's not a red flag. That's probably maybe yellow flag for some people, but that shouldn't be a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming from someone who's very like politically like opinionated. So like,
I think my thing is, I think it's better for somebody to treat you right than for them to like necessarily have been a return missionary, for example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think what I struggle with is when somebody is not treating me right because of my anxiety, I assume it's my fault.
Yeah.
Even when it's not. Mm-hmm. So that's what's really hard for me. And I'm like really struggling to just overcome that and to recognize that like I deserve to be treated better.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy, but like my anxiety just tells me that I just am not that great. So
honestly, I think that's a pretty common occurrence.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially for women is, well, one of my situationships was really great and then it wasn't. And I messed up. Mm-hmm. I made a mistake, but it was one mistake and it wasn't like, and I don't think it was anything terrible. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to some friends about it and like told them what I did. And they're like, oh, that's like a normal relationship, dude. Like, yes. If she's like, if you've done like one thing wrong and you've apologized like right after, you're like doing way better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so it took me like a year to recognize that. Mm-hmm. But like all my friends were just like, you're fine, dude. Don't worry about it. But she treated me so poorly after that, mm-hmm. that I was like, that's my fault. Like, I've done this. Uh-huh. This is my mistake. Like, let me try to fix it.
But you want to find someone who is willing to forgive us.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely something I learned from that mm-hmm. situationship.
Sorry, that word just makes me laugh every time you say it.
I don't think I can say it.
But that was something I learned, was that, like, I need someone who's going to be able to forgive my flaws. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because while I am facing towards God, I'm facing towards Christ, I want to progress in that situation, like, and that relationship with my Heavenly Father and Heavenly Brother, like, I want to go in that direction. I'm going to make mistake. I am human. And I need someone who's going to recognize that. Mm-hmm. So
that's good.
Well, Shane, we have really enjoyed talking to you. I have learned so much and I'm glad that you came. So we would like to ask you,
what does it mean to you to consecrate your life to Jesus Christ?
I would say it means putting myself in a position where I'm Christ focused. Like, I'm not a general authority. I don't need to like, or officer. I don't need to like dedicate my entire time to that, because I do need to like pay for rent. But I do need to be focused on Christ. I do need to be like reading my scriptures daily, going to church, fulfilling, magnifying my callings. I need to be like working and be what's under my stewardship. I need to be magnifying that. Mm-hmm. And as other things get added to that stewardship, continuing to magnify and growing in that direction.
I think that's very profound.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks for being on.
It has been really fun having you.
Yeah, it's great. I had to switch my phone onto airplane mode. Because Elena told me to. And I just want to make sure that's in there.
Why?
Hope you can edit all my ums out too.
I mean, I can. I probably won't edit all of them because it's too many.
I was doing a presentation for the School of Science, mm-hmm. or the College of Science, as a student senator. Mm-hmm. And so I was rehearsing it in front of the other senators. And they're like, you say too many times.
We are so grateful that Shane was willing to come talk to us, and we thank you for listening. As always, you can message us on Instagram at ConsecratingPod. If you have any suggestions or perspectives to offer, leave a rating on whatever app you're using to listen to this podcast to help our podcast grow. Hope to see you next time.